Welcome to Fear of the Boot. My name is Dan.
I'm Phoenix.
This is Wayne.
I'm Brodor.
Oh, you guys all did bedroom voices.
Oh, no, 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 no. Now we're going to get down low.
Oh.
Because we're going to try and do Fear of the Boot bedtime stories. And we're going to try and do this as a bonus episode and not a negative episode. Now, where it ends up is in the hands of one man. One strapping, burly, enticing man with a French name.
Our bro.
Brodor. In through the Brodor. And unfortunately, my dog is in the background shaking his collar and chewing a bone. But we are still going to try and keep this in bonus episode territory, aren't we, Brodor?
We are.
All right.
Let's see if we can do it. I have faith in you, Brodor.
I don't. I have none. Literally zero.
But I'm choosing to be optimistic.
You are choosing self-delusion.
All right. So in my mind, I've got my eyes closed, and I'm going through the words that I can't say. The C word.
It's a long list. It's a long list. It's basically your entire vocabulary.
Do you need the whiteboard?
No, but I have been using my own personal whiteboard at home for brainstorming. So I've got my easel set up in my game space.
Okay.
And I've got my whiteboard on it. And I just have my dry erase markers there. I have been doing gaming brainstorming. So if I'm on the phone with somebody or I'm trying to get somebody on the show to do an interview, checking my emails or what have you, and I just have an idea, I'm like, oh, Black Swan with Natalie Portman. What if the mythos King in Yellow was not an opera or a play, but what if it was a ballet done in the fashion of that
with hot lesbians?
Yes, with in that nightmarish.
All ballet should have hot lesbians.
Horror. Ah, so and then I write that down. So whiteboard, absolutely super important tool for the bro mastering that I do.
All that I'm taking away from that is Brodor's whiteboard, hot ballet lesbians.
Well, it doesn't say just this, but it says the Yellow King ballet, and then it started flowing, and so hot ballet lesbians. You know, I've never been into lesbian stuff, girl on girl. Like, I've always felt that
not a negative.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be completely
I don't buy it,
adult in my language.
Okay. That's a problem. not adult in your language.
You're right, never mind. You're right. Because I want to say but this isn't a negative episode, so.
Yeah, okay, so I. I know we can't do porn on Sesame Street, so here's some porn to show you what we can't do.
My point is that the whiteboard, great asset.
Okay, great.
One of these days, we need to do a negative episode that is, what is the first porn you ever saw?
No. All right, Wayne, stop. Stop. Yeah. No, don't hold on. All right, we don't need to inspire broader. So we're trying to keep this workable for general consumption. Riding that edge of what we can actually produce for the public. So Bedtime Stories, for anyone who doesn't know, was a series of bonus episodes we did before negative episodes existed, where we tried to tell stories about our life that were comedic or interesting, but they were just random non sequitur. These typically aren't gaming related stories, just about the goofiness and the silliness of what we have lived through and the things that we have done. For example, if you know about Wayne's soap baby, you know that, first of all, Wayne has been betrothed at least once in his life.
I heard this story for the first time tonight. It did not disappoint.
Yeah. And Phoenix is completely on board with Phoenix.
Wayne is wrong.
Yeah, Wayne is wrong. Thank you. Everybody but Wayne says Wayne is wrong. Even the chick's parents say Wayne is wrong. And Wayne is wrong. But that's the sort of thing we do on this. So who wants to go first? Brodor, Wayne?
I'll go first.
All right, go ahead, Wayne.
So I bought a shirt on eBay the other day.
Okay.
And it brought back a lot of memories. So I'm in a Facebook group that is people that used to work at Six Flags.
Okay.
And one of them posted they saw a shirt for Boxman. We used to do...
Whoa. Hold on. Now.
No. Do not hold on. I already know where this is headed.
Yes.
Wayne. So what... Wayne, not Brodor. Yeah. What is Boxman?
So we used to do, over the summer, we would do Olympics, where all the different departments would compete against each other in things like three-legged races and tug-of-war, things like that.
Okay.
Well, in retail, we had a mascot. We had the superhero, Boxman. And the last one of the years, I recreated this mascot for us.
Okay.
And when I say we had a mascot, we got
a monosyllabic cube with a tongue that just hangs down that he drags behind him like a train on a fancy wedding dress.
No. What he was a giant box that was like the... We're talking a big enough box, like a refrigerator box, that we had holes cut in the side.
Just an enormous box. Just cavernous. Just a gaping box. Just more space, like a TARDIS.
With a cape on it. It had a big flowing red cape behind it.
Yes. I'm here for the cape.
It had a big M for merchandise on the front.
Okay.
And we would put somebody in this box, and they would go out there.
People were in the box, Wayne. There were a lot of people in the big box.
They would go out, and they would dance around while everyone was doing the sport. So anyway, I found a shirt on eBay. Well, one of the guys found a shirt from one of the last years of this, but had the Boxman on there. So apparently somebody found this thing in like a Goodwill or one of those in the area,
yeah,
and bought it. This was a shirt that would have only existed for people in the retail department that worked at
Six Flags. So it was a custom shirt, and it turned up in a Goodwill.
Yes.
Okay.
And they found then turned it up on eBay.
Yes. And so I immediately bought it because it just happened to be in my size.
Maybe it was your old shirt.
I never had this one. Because it was the year after I quit working there. But my legacy of Boxman lived. So I bought this shirt. I've got it. I got it home. And it got me remembering all of these stories of the fun I had there as a stupid teenager into the first couple of years of my 20s. Things like the incredible fun it is when the park is closed and you're driving the truck around the park. So you're driving a vehicle around a theme park.
I'm so envious. I can't imagine.
And then we get like somebody in the back of the truck with like a bow and arrow with a suction cup. And yes, we drive by where people were unboxing things and they'd fire the bow and arrow out.
I love
that.
The
Boxman unboxing? Or like, what was... I'm confused on the box status.
We've shifted gears. Different story. Boxman.
The box was folded and put away.
Boxman has been retired for this season.
Yes. We would do things like there was a store that had no windows. So we went there and we got those light up swords that are kind of like lightsabers, but they're the cheaper versions.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we would shut off all the lights and just turn those on and in the dark do lightsaber fights throughout the store. Awesome. We would drive around with like the truck and we'd find where they were washing the street and pull the truck through where the water is pouring in the back and the people in the back have no way to get away from it until they're just drenched. The truck had an 01 on the side, like the General Lee, and it was like had a hole in the floorboard so you could see the ground under it. This truck was falling apart and everybody loved it. They bought a new truck and no one wanted to drive it because we didn't want to be the person that put a dent in that truck.
Yeah.
I remember one time we were doing a haunted house. Alice Cooper came out and was part of this haunted house. It was Alice Cooper's Brutal Planet.
That's pretty badass. Oh, okay. I like Alice Cooper.
So we're out there putting this together. This is before he came out. And there's this room that was the latex room. And they have all of this latex painted red.
Hold on. I need to understand that the box man and the latex room
not connected.
They were connected. There was a lot of connecting latex and the box man.
So this room was filled with latex strips on the wall to look like skin and organs, and they're painted red and all this. And the room's covered. And except for a spot that's cleared out where they have a suit where someone's going to be wearing this, that they can stand up in that spot and not be seen.
So, so we get, like, camouflage into the gore of the wall.
Exactly. That's brilliant.
So
that's
we get up terrifying. There and the fire inspector has been through and said, nope, you have to pull every bit down and you have to dunk it in this chemical to make it fire retardant. But can't we just spray the... No, you have to pull every bit off the wall. I was up there for a day with a middle-aged man and an elderly woman ripping latex off of the wall. And we didn't have, like, tools for this. So we're up there and you grab it and you pull and then it snaps and then your arms are, like, bruised with it.
We have, like, it's like breaking rubber bands.
Yeah. We spent a day ripping latex off the wall so they could soak it and put it right back up where we'd pulled it off of.
Oh, that's awful.
Yes, yeah. That was one of my worst days working there.
Did it get hot, though? Did it, like, sexy?
No, no.
Like, there was no middle-aged man, old lady, Wayne,
no.
Sort of oil, latex, fire retardant chemical.
No, there was a lot of cussing.
No,
and no one minded that we were cussing because it hurt. Yeah, no, that was one of the not fun things. It kind of balances out all the fun of driving the truck around and driving the truck through the park when there's snow on the ground. And you're sliding.
Oh, did you get to do donuts in the park? In the
truck? Yeah.
Yeah, it's so much
the, fun. The delight, though, right? The mischief of being a teenager and having this sense of responsibility and being reckless. Oh, my God. I'm just so envious of that experience. I wish I could have worked at an amusement park to have
that. There are a lot of similar stories coming out of the military. And people are all shocked that, like, oh, my gosh, we have these multi-million dollar or even billion dollar tanks and fighter jets that are getting misused in this way or that way. It's like, what? You have a bunch of 18 to 22 year olds in a high stress environment.
Oh, yeah.
Access to military hardware. What do you think is going to happen? Yeah.
We had a radio code for playing Uno. There was one spot where we would go in the park that was air conditioned because I got a point where I was in leadership, so I didn't have to be stuck on a register. And you just hit the radio code and we knew what it meant. And we would just go to that spot and we'd play Uno for a couple hours and then go let our people go to break after that.
Man, my jobs as a teenager were so boring in comparison.
Well, you have to work your way up to that. You start off working a register in the heat and being miserable, but having to be cordial to all the people coming in.
I just worked in an optometrist's office with a really hot doctor who was unfortunately married.
You say unfortunately married. Was he not happy in his marriage?
No, he was. I just had a really big crush on him.
Unfortunate.
Yeah. Of course, I was like 16, but
yeah.
He was Dr. Green, man. He was hot. Anyway.
No, we just did
crazy
things.
So wait, how many years did you work at Six Flags? I know you were there a while.
16 until 21, 22.
Oh, wow. So, okay, let's say 5 years.
Yeah. So, because the last year I was there, I went back and worked just concerts. So I went in for, you know, help them out before the park opened, doing setup and things.
Man, those
and
then concerts at Six Flags are a real mixed bag. Because, like, some of them are really good acts. They're just falling out of favor. Like Alice Cooper at the time. Whereas some of them are, like, these really awful. They're small for a reason.
Well, I remember I didn't work it that year, but I was there when Britney Spears came out. And I remember these teen boys coming in the store and they're wearing Metallica shirts. I'm like, tell me you're not here for Britney Spears. Like, yeah, we are. It's like, why? You're wearing Metallica shirts? Because she's hot. And then I remember walking out of the park and I hear her performing. And her performance is not auto-tuned. And she wasn't lip-singing. And it was horrid.
Yeah. Well, the Seattle before she hit it really big when she still working her way up. I tell you, though, man, speaking of such things. So, you know, Anna Kournikova got a whole lot of people watching women's tennis. Mm-hmm. And then.
Why? Is she really good?
No. Yeah. She's great. She's great. And then Maria Sharapova actually matched looks and skill together and kind of, you know, kept that there. Do you have women's golf? I don't know if you've watched women's golf lately.
No,
I don't hate golf. Myself. Why would I watch golf?
Yeah, that's what you think. The same reason you watch women's tennis. That's all I'm going to say. Work it out from there. Watch just like 20 minutes of women's golf and you'll understand why you're watching women's golf.
It's that riveting? Is it like, are they really?
Yes, yes. It's a really great sport.
Because I have to tell you, Dan, I don't understand what you're getting at and I need you to hold my hand.
No, no. It's a really great sport. Yeah. You would not believe the sportsmanship, the skill.
It's the same reason that I joined TikTok.
Right, right. Yes, yes. Exactly. Dude, exactly. Which,
by the way, how in the name of Pete did TikTok know that I was a straight man?
They know.
How did they know?
The algorithm knows all.
It does. It does know all. Because these videos popped up and I'm like, I would never seek this out.
Broder, it was made by China. They know everything about you already. You're on China's radar.
But I can't. But then I can't stop watching it. I'm like, well, where did this beautiful young person come from?
You did a video criticizing China. You're on their radar.
Why is she dressed this way? And why is this shaking happening? And why can I not stop watching?
Yeah. So, okay. As of right now, at least as of me saying this, I don't know if it would be true when this episode drops. There is a website you can go to see if the Great Firewall's blocked you or not. Fear the Boot, as of me saying this, is available in China. Now, I don't know how long that will remain true, but at least as
Stop
of
talking
this
smack about
second,
China.
I hate the CCP. But
okay, now we're out. Up until that.
I didn't mean to use the F-bomb. I really have been trying not to use profanity in this Bedtime Stories episode.
But no, we are available in China presently. I don't know how long that will remain true. And with the ever-changing political landscape, we may be banned for reasons that have nothing to do with our own content. But,
you know, I'm reminded also of another a fun charity event I did while I worked at Six Flags.
Yes, bring it.
So the event is called a plane pull.
What?
Plane pull.
Plane pull, like plane, like...
Like an airplane.
Airplane?
Like, yes.
I'm doing airplane
teams
motions.
Teams get together and people bet on whether you're going to be able to pull it or not. And it's like,
where the hell were you putting? There's no landing strip.
Oh, like you're like towing a plane? Like what?
Okay, so you went to the Chesterfield Airport.
Yeah, this was a Six Flags fielded a team.
Oh, okay. So that's what, Spirit of St. Louis Airport? Or
yeah, so we're out there on the field. And we have this
plane. I was going to say, because there's no airport in Six Flags.
Yeah, no. This was out in Chesterfield.
Okay.
So we're out there. The plane's there. We're all retail guys. We're not the big security guys. We're not the big buff guys. And we are pulling and pulling. And this thing isn't budging. And so finally, because you also want to get as light of a team as possible to pull it for awards and things. So finally, we're not budging this thing, and a bunch of firefighters jump on and help us pull it, and it finally starts moving, and we're pretty sure somebody, like, in the plane just tapped on the gas or something. But once you get it moving, like, that's the hard part. Getting it moving, the thing would not budge. Once it started rolling, it had a little momentum, and we could pull it once it was rolling, but getting it to move from a stop, that was probably the coolest charity event I've ever done.
I can't remember what it's called in physics, but there's this concept of a break point in friction.
Where objects at rest tend to stay at rest.
Yeah, but there's a more detailed explanation for that. But if you break its like threshold of friction, then it moves and stays moving, and it's easier.
So are we talking about like you have like a rope attached to the...
They tie the rope to the nose of the plane. And you are pulling on
on a rope tied to it.
So like a strongman competition when they pull a bus instead of pulling a bus, it's a team of people pulling an aircraft.
Yeah. It was incredibly cool.
My mind is blown.
I got a t-shirt from it that year.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, see, I never did anything cool like that.
Same.
I mean, my life was violence, right? Like, my parents were violence, particularly my mother. My school was violence. I grew up and went to Catholic school back when it was okay to hit kids. And so in detention, inevitably, we would just want to engage in violence. So my buddy Avery and my buddy Shane, I'm still friends with today, or I'm friends with today on Facebook. Avery, I couldn't tell you what happened. Avery's the first person where I saw amateur pornography. I remember seeing Polaroids of his dad's wiener. But we would get detention because we were savages, right? Mm-hmm. Like we were just absolute monsters. And we were supposed to tear computer paper. And for those of you that are young, you won't remember the dot matrix printer.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
in some old when movies.
Computer paper was yeah. one long sheet yeah. that had yeah. perforated tear
and,
points.
And I had one to, in my office. It's had legs.
You had the tear points, but then also if you were an anal retentive like many of us, you would also want to perforate the tracks off yes. of the yeah. side. Yes. The little holes, right? Where so sort of like a tank tread where the little gears would go in and move the paper yes. up.
Yeah.
So our responsibilities on detention were to tear the paper and clean it up and get it organized. But instead what we would do is we would take Bic pens, and it's important because the Bic has the right consistency, the right gauge, but also thickness of wall to make a proper blowgun. So you would clear out the front mm-hmm. and the back end of the Bic pens. You have your little tube. Then what we would do is we would take the scissors in the area that we were working, and we would snip the ends off of our shoelaces. Then you would take a straight pin, you shove it through the end so it goes through that hard plastic cylinder to give it some stability. And then you fray very, very heavily the end of the shoelace so you make a little blowgun dart. And then we just shoot each other. Right. So, and instead of tearing copy paper, we would be hiding around, literally trying to shoot each other in the face with these little blowgun needles. It was amazing.
So, what was the needle made out of?
No, we took a needle.
It was a straight pin.
Oh, so, yeah. Okay. So, we would take a straight pin, right? So, you take this portion of your shoe right here, you cut it maybe a half inch down or 3/4 inch down. Then you fray it a little bit. You run the needle all the way through that cylinder, right? So it's got a nice hard body. And you've got needle that sticks out here. And then this acts as a flight, like a fletching on an arrow. And we would try to shoot each other. And sometimes they would just suck. But, dude, once in a while, oh, man, you'd just once sticking out of your buddy's arm. Ah, delightful.
Kids, don't try this at home.
Yeah, we're not suggesting any of this.
Oh, delightful. But the other thing that we would do, this is before Boffer, right? This is before people got all, I don't know,
safety conscious?
Cowardly and afraid of pain, and they made stuff with foam. We would just find sticks, right? Like, this stick is a good curved scimitar stick, right? Like, you would just go through the woods, and when you couldn't find porn, you would give up and you would just look for good sticks to make swords. So then you'd take them home and you would just drive 2 nails into it, right? Just to make a hand guard. That's it. Just 2 nails, right? And I'm not lying. I'm not kidding. I'm not making this up. So then we would just slather them in duct tape, right, in either, you not gaffer's tape, but like hockey tape for the handle or masking tape. And we would hit each other with sticks wrapped in duct tape with nails for the handguards. Oh, he's so good, right? And it wasn't Boffer for points. We would fight until somebody was like, I'm in too much pain. I cannot do this any longer because I hurt.
See, we never used anything like that. I mean, in the basement wrestling, we hit each other with cookie sheets and chairs and a stop sign.
Wait, cookie sheet. Hold on.
Yeah, like what you put in an oven.
Yeah, I know what a cookie sheet is.
Why are you... What?
Did you ever get anything really comedic, like somebody's face imprinted in a cookie sheet?
No, generally what you do is you hit people with it, and then it bends and slightly breaks until they're bleeding because it's actually cutting them.
Yeah. Yeah,
and
no.
then you quit using it.
Yeah, I know what a cooking sheet or a cookie sheet is. I know what that is, but...
Y'all had such a different childhood for me. Oh.
Well, now you're going to tell me that you never took tennis balls, doused them in gasoline, lit them on fire, and then just kicked them down the street. You never did that?
No.
Oh, my God. That you was never one of our favorites.
You never wrote words in Everclear and lit it?
I grew up Mormon. There was no Everclear.
Yeah, you wrote words in Everclear and then light it, and then it's flaming words.
I was such a goody two-shoes as a kid,
but I never used most of them. I got it in my head at some point in like my early teens. I started making like wooden stakes,
right?
Carving and you're going to kill a vampire.
Yeah.
So I had a collection of those.
But didn't you also want to be a vampire? This kind of
didn't
seems,
you have like the
yeah. This
the
seems
fangs?
Counterintuitive.
Yeah, I had the fangs.
Like this you were both the vampire and the vampire
like,
killer.
You were like
Angel was a vampire killer and he was a vampire.
That is true.
God damn it! Sorry,
yeah.
I didn't mean to use the GD thing. But five.
Well, I don't have to bleep that. Or...
Yeah, I free an angel.
No, I made a lot of them, but I never used any of the weapons. I mean, I would practice with the weight. What you put on a barbell.
Right.
Just the bar itself?
Yeah, yeah.
I would use it like a staff on it.
The flaming tennis ball thing. All right, I cannot believe I'm even going to reference this because I should know this. But wasn't there like an episode of Friends where they had something called like hot potato or something or flame ball? I don't know what they called it, but it was that sport where they would soak tennis balls.
I never saw Friends.
You know, I don't know why I know this one episode. Because I didn't watch Friends.
I watched the entire series once because my...
I'm very sorry to hear that. My roommate
in freshman year of college.
But there was one episode where apparently two of them were knocking flaming tennis balls back and forth between each other. And they had like burned out oven mitts or something from playing this.
Oh.
And I thought that's what they were playing was they would soak tennis balls and gasoline and then set them on fire. And so this was a mainstream television show. So we're not... giving anyone brand new ideas here.
It's probably part of why I was never allowed to watch Friends till I was
Do you have any really good childhood stupid injury stories? Because one of mine, we were setting up aluminum cans along the street and riding our bikes over them. And I was doing that, and one of the cans wraps itself up around my wheel. I lose control, turns. Now,
you know, it clamps the wheel and then hits the fork?
Yep.
So the
handlebar turns. Now, mind you, this bike is a used bike. So the bikes have... Like,
you just start a little kid practically pooping himself.
So this bike was a used bike, so the handle's the end of it. The end of rubber point wasn't there. It was metal.
Oh,
so this turns, and I get a metal ring in my stomach.
Oh.
Like a bleeding metal ring where it cuts a circle into my stomach because I'm riding over aluminum cans.
I'm on my buddy Pat Rogie's bike, right? And I'm far, it was, I don't know, summer before my freshman year of high school, maybe. And he's got those pegs on the back of the so you can do tricks and stuff, right? So I've got my feet on the back pegs. I'm leaning forward, and I don't remember what happened, like if I did a Polish wheelie or if I hit something, and I go ass over tea kettle, right? Just my feet go flying, and my face hits the ground and scrapes just several feet of face sandpapered on gravel. This tooth right here is actually partially fake because I had to have a fake tooth put in over here because of so much grinding. It actually ripped part of my tooth off. It's brutal.
Yikes.
So we were out in the woods riding the bike, and a buddy of mine, we're jumping things. And he jumps the hill and he lands, and his back tire lands right in a hole. The front part of the bike disconnects from it. So like the bike falls into two pieces. So the worst part of it was, besides the fact that it hurt and all of that, was he had to walk back home with two pieces of the bike carrying the bike.
Oh, gosh. No.
So I'm a little kid. We live in this house in Salem, Missouri, off this split gravel driveway road thing, right? My father actually had designed the blueprints to the house and had it built. And we're in my dad's Jeep, and I'm just a little kid, And what's weird is that I didn't fasten my seatbelt. I just didn't remember to do it. Now, as the child, you know, maybe 5 or 6 years old, I can't believe I was so irresponsible as to forget to put my seatbelt on. But my father was forced to hit the brakes. I go flying into the windshield and crack the windshield, split my head. There's blood on the windshield. There's blood on my forehead. And my father is infuriated that I broke his windshield. It was ridiculous. The audacity of me to break his windshield in that situation. So, it was ridiculous. Wow. Yeah.
I have very few memories of my brother growing up. My closest relative was my sister, who was 10 years older than me. My brother is older than that. So obviously they moved out. You're
practically an only child.
Very much so. So I do remember two car-related incidents, though. One of them, I am apparently asleep in the back seat. I remember waking up and wondering, why am I on the floorboard and why does it hurt?
Oh, no.
So the money from that was how I got my first computer, was being a passenger in that car wreck.
Oh, wow.
How I got my first car was from being a passenger in a car wreck with my dad. I was a passenger in a lot of car wrecks. Yikes. So the other time, though,
was this like a family business? Or
yeah, no, exactly. Yeah. Irresponsible driving was how the family made its money.
Actually, my best friend at the time got his first car because he was in a wreck with me and got the money from that.
So he sued your...
Thank you for not driving us to dinner.
Yeah, so suing each other's insurance was basically your family's industry.
Well, and the wrecks are never our fault. There's always someone else. I've got all kinds of wreck stories. But anyway, the second thing I remember from my brother with that was we were going out to the grocery store. I was a big fan of Dukes of Hazzard. And like at this point, I'm young enough. I try to crawl in through the window of the car, but I'm not coordinated and I'm fat and I'm a little kid. But I would try to do things like that. And so.
Were you heavy as a kid?
Oh, yeah. I started gaining weight around age 5 or so. There was some trauma in there related to that. Sure. But whatever. So anyway, we lived 2 miles outside of city limits, up on a hill. The bottom of the hill is a giant field. Well, my brother, as he's driving us to the store, I think we were even borrowing my mom's car to go to the store. He hits the bottom of the field, cuts left, and we go right through the field. Because, you know, like Dukes of Hazzard,
right.
We're having fun. Get to the store, go into the store, come out, all the tires are flat. Oh, he had done this enough that the guy at the bottom of the hill put out wooden 2x4s with nails on it.
Oh.
And we drove over.
As a angry and curmudgeonly and inclined to violence old person, I adore that story. I love the boards with nails in them. I love the fact that he ruined your tires.
It's not like an out-of-control field either that he was driving through. He would have that field bailed into hay that he then sold. So this was like equivalent of a farm field that we would drive into.
Yeah, yeah. So you really had that come out. I don't know if that's legal or not.
Yeah, I have no idea, but...
I mean, if it was on his property.
It was on his property. We were driving through his property.
Yeah, so the closest I've got to anything like that was at my junior high. There was a book. I don't remember the name of the book. It was a fiction book, some kind of young adult fiction.
Mein Kampf?
Yes, that's exactly what it was.
Absolutely young adult fiction. Yes.
That explained in detail how to make a waterproof bomb. So what would happen...
So this is not like my first anarchist cookbook.
This is, dude, no, it was like some story about this kind of troubled kid growing up. And at one point, he does a toilet bombing. And it explains in detail how he built the toilet bomb. And I still remember a chunk of the recipe, and I'm not going to recite it. But you could make, if you follow the instructions in this, a bomb that you could light the fuse on, flush it down a toilet, and it would stay lit, go down the fuse, and then detonate somewhere in the pipes. And you'd get like this, I don't know, synchronized swimming, like fountain of water coming up out of the toilets, because it would blow up inside the plumbing. And so every year...
I'm going to need you to track this down for me, Dan.
Every year, someone would do this, and they would always bust the person that did it by going to the library and looking out who had checked out this book. And so they would find out that, oh my gosh, this kid had most recently checked out this book. and then go and confront him, and sure enough, he'd confess or whatever. And yeah, that was how it always got made.
I mean, why would you check the book out? Why not just take your notebook and copy it down while the book is still in the library? So you
well, see,
get
that's
caught.
If you were smart. But let's be honest. Most people with a deviant mind are not all that intelligent.
Yeah, they didn't know it was in the book when they checked it out.
Yeah, exactly.
I think they checked it out, read the book, and were inspired by it.
Yeah, Wayne's correct. That's basically fair. More what it was. They'd get inspired by the book. Then they go build the bomb.
Because you got to remember, Phoenix, we didn't have the internet back then.
Yeah.
Yes, I know. You're very old.
And so they blow up the plumbing, and it'd just be blowing toilet water out all the bathrooms. And it was freaking hilarious, but whoever did it
stuff up
always got in trouble.
Oh, my gosh. I've never blown anything up.
What? So 4th of July, every year, I would go to, like, whatever the 99-cent store Dollar Tree equivalent was at the time, and I would stock up on things. When I got my first IT job, I stocked up on the dead hardware. And then I would bring it home, go out, get the fireworks. Wasn't going to be a big enough one because they have regulations and they don't sell them like when we were younger. Too. So I would start combining them. I would take like the signal flares that are, what are those made out of?
Magnesium and white phosphorus.
I would take the magnesium out of that to combine in with other things.
Oh, yeah.
And I would make my own and then fill them up. So it would be things like.
I temporarily blinded myself with magnesium.
I can believe that.
I feel like you probably had it coming.
Well, maybe, maybe not. Yeah. I don't know. I stole some magnesium from a chemistry lab at high school, and I lit it on fire, and it burns so brightly, it will temporarily blind you.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's what happened. It temporarily blinded
me. So, stuffed animals that I would buy. Computer mouse.
Tell me that you did not put exploding things in stuffed animals.
Oh, I definitely put exploding things in stuffed animals and watched it burn afterwards.
You never just... You never mutilated, like, your G.I. Joes or
anything? I didn't have G.I. Joes.
So... Okay. Did you ever have a burial for your toys?
No.
Like a pyre? You never just lit it on fire?
What is wrong with you people?
All right, so G.I. Joes have three key things that made them a wonderful unique toy. One, the G.I. Joe was easily disassembled. If you got a small screwdriver, which was not difficult to come by.
Yeah, and the eyeglasses repair kit.
You could disassemble your G.I. Joes and you could mix and match, right? And you can do some wild Frankenstein stuff.
Yep.
Two, the G.I. Joes had a hook between their torso, right, in their abdomen here, and their pelvis. There was a hook and a little rubber band, so you could stretch them, which means...
If the toy broke, it was always the rubber band that broke.
You could take firecrackers, and you could force them, right? Take an individual firecracker, or more, depending on how brazen you wanted to get. You could stretch them, that little rubber band, and you could just shove... firecrackers between pelvis and torso to blow up your G.I. Joes. But the best part about G.I. Joes is what on a human being anatomically would be called the perineum. There was an actual gap between the legs, right? So there was some sort of canal or opening. So like if you had characters like Lady J, for example, that came with a javelin. You could then take Storm Shadow and take Lady J's javelin and shove it into Storm Shadow's perineum.
Yes. Wow.
So this story is going to be much more wholesome than that one.
Let's hope so.
I remember one time.
I swear to God, like, I feel like I'm coming across as like super stodgy, and I need people to understand that that is not me. That is just how I grew up.
Yeah. So I remember one time growing up, I had all of these cardboard boxes, and so made a cardboard box city out in the front yard. Where I'm walking through like I'm Godzilla in these giant, these were all the buildings until it started pouring down rain and it all kind of washed away.
Did you poop on it? Did you like just go, did you just go over, go over the Chrysler building and just spread cheeks and just drop a big old brick right on top of the Chrysler building?
Bonus episode.
I didn't use any potty language. I mean, it was
all potty language.
It was all potty language.
I didn't use profanity.
I didn't use anything.
Yeah. That was a hell of a non sequitur, though. At least I know what you're thinking about when you watch Godzilla films.
Yeah, no, I never did anything like that. My issue was I liked fire too much, so I would light things on fire and occasionally have to rush from my bedroom into the bathroom to get it into the sink. Well,
Wait, you did this in the house?
Yes.
You didn't follow rule one.
Does this man look like a coward to you? Is there anything cowardly about this man? Of course he did it inside the house.
We're talking not even a teenager yet.
Yeah, I still did it in the street or in the backyard or something. I didn't do it in the house.
We always set my friend's house on fire once.
Yeah, so, well, my neighbor's house did get burnt down by their kids. But anyway, so I have a cup that I burn, and when you burn styrofoam, it kind of shrinks and consolidates.
Yeah, yeah.
I toss this in the toilet because it's on fire, and I like flush it down. So the toilet starts backing up.
I hope you don't have a septic tank, because if you do, this is about to get real interesting.
Oh, we did. It didn't make it all the way to the septic tank.
Okay, because that would detonate.
No, it got stuck. It went out, but it was thick. When they finally got a plumber out and pulled it out, the plumber had no idea what this was because it had been disintegrated into this tiny thing. And they're like, maybe something somehow got in the pipes and the drain cleaner melted it or something. I never told my parents it was me, obviously.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah. No, those were the fun fire things. It wasn't like when I would light up a ring until it glowed red and then push it on my arm and burn.
Yikes. Okay, so we would burn things. Like, the edgiest my friends and I ever got, the edgiest, was that, like, we'd go to somebody's house for, like, a sleepover or whatever, and we would take whatever candles were lit, we would start putting...
She burned a candle.
I know. No, we would start putting food in it, right? To see what would burn. And so we're at my friend Katie's house down in the basement.
Lemon peels.
And her mom had put out, like, these really nice candles that were in these little, like, foil dishes. They were super cute. And we had those, like, the combo packs of chips that had, like, the rye chips in them and, like, the curly things. And so we were trying to see which pieces burned better. Eventually got tired of it. Went off doing whatever we were doing. Turned back around to see that the entire wax of the candle had caught fire and was burning the table. And had to scream for her parents to come down. And
oh my God, you get in trouble?
Her mom was really disappointed and was definitely mad. We didn't get super busted. She didn't tell my parents, which I was very glad for.
Wait, nobody got a fat lip or...
No.
Or pistol whipped for half an hour.
Oh my God, no. See, that's crazy.
Nah.
So wait,
her parents were super
when something like that happens and no, somebody just... doesn't get hit in the face,
no, like,
I'm confused.
We yelled that both parents came down, the candle went into the little sink that was by the bar, and we were not allowed to light candles anymore.
So wait, I want to hear, how did your friends or your neighbors or whatever burn the house down?
So their kids were outside playing with fire on the side of the house. And this is secondhand because I wasn't there when this happened.
Okay.
But they were outside playing and they thought they had the fire out and they didn't. And it spread and then the house burnt down.
Oh, Jesus.
And
do you know how they started the fire?
I don't. I hadn't moved out, but I was working, so I wasn't at the house much.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember... I was driving by the highway and I look up on, because we lived on this hill on the side of the highway.
Yeah.
And there are fire trucks up there.
Oh, wow.
And it's like, oh, there are four houses on the top of that hill.
Mm-hmm. One of them's mine.
Yeah. So I had no idea.
I mean, did you live down there? You were fairly close to where I grew up. Do you remember when that house blew up?
Oh, yeah. I drove over there.
Yeah. That was in my neighborhood. Yeah,
no, I was actually at my parents' house at the time. And the
shook our pictures the windshield,
the windows shook.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, wow, what was that? So I got in the car, went over, started driving and looking for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I found it. I got there before the police did.
Nice.
And they didn't have the gas turned off yet. So where this house blew up, the people were on vacation. There was nobody in the house at the time.
Yeah.
I found all the details later. And a pilot light had gone out. The entire house had basically filled up with gas. And something sparked it. The house blew up, but the gas line is still there. So there's a flame pillar coming out of it where I see it. And you have parts of the house is on the roof across the street.
Their bathtub went through somebody's wall. Yeah. It's crazy.
Actually, my neighbor's house when it burnt down. After that was done, I went over there. I went through the burnt house and it was so cool seeing
like the bones of the house.
Yeah, it's horrible because this was somebody's house,
yeah.
But it was so...
Yeah, and if it's a gas leak, that's not as...
Well, that wasn't the explosion.
There's no schadenfreude there like there would be if it was a meth lab or
somebody
making bombs. Well, there were plenty of meth labs around, but that was not one of them.
The neighbor's house was just the kids playing and burned it down.
Yeah.
But yeah, going through that one was... Because there was still like the frame of the basement was there and going kind of rooms and poking at things and everything smelled like fire and bringing a blanket over and having sex in the basement.
What?
Wait, what?
What?
What? Dude.
You just put that in there.
What the hell?
Bury the lead. Wait, yeah, exactly.
So you're young. You've got your blanket. There is this still, warm, smoky, smoldery husk of a house's shell. You climb down to the basement. You and what was her name?
Yeah, who's your soap baby wife?
So no, I'm not sharing the whole story. But needless to say, we didn't have an apartment of our own. Still lived at home. We didn't have anywhere to really go. And here is a burnt down house.
We need up a name for her.
I love this story. I had sex in my father's sailboat in the yard, dry docked on the side of the house. I had sex on my girlfriend's brother's waterbed, on my girlfriend's trampoline, in parks. And so the idea of having sex in a burnt down house, I love it.
No, I love that idea. Yeah.
I made out in a cemetery and almost knocked over a tombstone.
I mean, don't knock over tombstones, but that seems appropriately goth. Yeah.
Yeah. Your house
It's very
down.
Disrespectful to just leave a ropey spider web on somebody's headstone. Not okay.
Yeah, no, I said make out. I didn't say I had sex in the cemetery.
Huh. All right. Well, once again, do not try anything you heard in this episode. We are relating stories for the purpose of comedy. We are not suggesting a course of action, blah, 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 blah.
Don't break laws.
We all know we were stupid.
If you're taking advice from us, you are a moron.
Well, and I
feel like I'm the sane one here.
I can tell you that Bic pens are not made to the degree. It's just like anything else. It's
quality's
just like,
gone downhill.
It's just like Big Macs and various French fries and all other things. They don't make them like they used to. I can tell you that the Bic pen and the shoelaces of today will not hold up to
there'll be a disappointment like everything else.
I don't know how we did it, but we used to have this way of taking like the push pens, you know, the ones like you click to make them come out and then click them to bring them back in. And we had some way where if you took them apart and rearrange the mechanisms, you could turn it into a gun.
And a projectile. No, for sure.
And I do not, for the life of me, remember how we did it. But we had it down to the science where if you just move the spring here and the latch here, this there and this there, that it would turn and you could press a button, it would shoot the ink cartridge out of the pen across the room.
I'm astounded.
And for the life of me.
At how much of your like childhoods were spent just coming up with random weapons to hurt each other with.
It's like that book I'm reading. If you are male, you grow up and it is difficult to decide whether you love something or you want to kill it.
Yeah.
I hear you. I've never seen it demonstrated quite so vividly.
I saw my first vagina in kindergarten, my first live vagina, my first in-person vagina.
I'm not sure we're legally even allowed to tell this story, so...
Yeah,
let's... We're just going to go ahead and tune out.
She's a great teacher.
Okay.
Now we know how Brodor got through kindergarten.
I was assuming this was a you show me mine, I'll show... You show me yours, I'll show you mine story. And apparently this is not. This is a sex crime.
Yeah, no, the worst thing we had in kindergarten was one of the moms paid the Santa in, like, beer, and he drank it all before he showed up.
That's amazing!
That's not worse. Yeah. That's most awesome.
We had a drunken Santa for the Christmas party.
That is awesome.
I mean, my youngest explained how sex works to one of her classmates in preschool.
Huh.
Somebody was pregnant. Somebody else said that, where do babies come from? My youngest, we'll call her Bear, is informed, because I believe in talking to my children like they're humans. Bear said that she knew the teacher said, oh, no, you don't. You don't challenge this child on anything ever. She knew better. She still challenged my child. So my child, of course, proceeds to explain using medical terminology how a person gets pregnant.
Yeah, sometimes when a hot load sticks.
Mm-hmm. And so I got a call from the center director explaining that Bear was not in trouble. She actually explained it properly using correct medical terminology, that the teacher should have known better than to challenge her in front of classmates, but that she had to let me know because they also had to let the boy's parents know in case he was not aware and came home with new words and explanations of things.
I love that.
Yeah.
As for rest of you, I'm sorry you tuned in. Have a great week of great games, or we will catch you next time.
Who's going to say see ya now?
See ya.